Olczyk got to it. Olczyk busting at center ice, comes over the line, shooting. He scores! Olczyk! A shorthanded goal! He just blew right through the defense at center. Coffey couldn't even catch him. Fired it by Fjord on the sixth side.
For all you young hockey players out there, this is Eddie Olczyk. Don't do what Cap's doing right now, but kidding aside, you're listening to Cap and Hawk.
Olczyk!
He's the best in the business. He's our guy. He's the great Eddie Olczyk. And we're talking Blackhawks hockey. They are in a 2-1 hole. Last time they were in the final, they were in a 2-1 hole against the Bruins. And Edzo joins us now. Good morning, Edzo. How are you today, pal?
Morning, Eddie.
Hey, Capper. Hey, David. I'm doing well. Hope you guys are doing good today.
You bet. Thanks for taking time for us. I want to start with Corey Crawford because I didn't have a huge problem with the first goal. People around me did. I thought, tip your hockey helmet, as you would say. It was a rocket. It was a great shot. Upper corner of the net. He got it in there. The second one, that one bothered me.
Hold on. I didn't think it was a great goal.
Okay.
It's Ryan Callahan. He's got one goal in his last 35 playoff games. I thought Corey could have been a little bit more aggressive. Yeah, it went crossbarring in, posting in. But, you know, I think in that situation, you know, you got to be more aggressive and you can't, you know, that puck can't beat you there.
Okay. Second one bothered me. I thought that the one 13 seconds after the Hawks took the lead, that one, even Joel said after the game, that can't go in. The third goal, he had no chance. Agreed?
Well, do I have a choice or?
Yeah, you could say I don't agree. Absolutely.
Okay. So which goal are you asking me about?
I'm asking you about the second and the third. Please give me your analysis.
So you tell me what was the issue with the second goal? You thought that it was a bad goal on Crawford's part.
I just thought he had to find a way to freeze that puck. You can't let that thing get knifed underneath you.
And I think that's the one where you do give the Lightning credit. That was just, to me, a greasy
goal.
Joel
said that puck can't go in. It can't.
Well, no, the puck can't go in. But what about Oduya getting beat to the outside?
True.
And then the Blackhawks losing the battle in front of the net, and Crawford looking for the puck. Nobody was there to clear it. He went to reach for it, and Andre Palat with the puck in the back of the net. So, I mean, to me, you know, that's one of those greasy goals that Joel talks a lot about that he wants his team to get. And, you know, I didn't have a problem with that. And then obviously the one, you know, the beautiful pass from Hedman there, a breakdown in coverage, a couple of areas. Kaminsky in the middle of the ice. Sharp in the middle of the ice, and then Paquette got inside, and they were there, but not close enough, and Crawford had no chance on that.
That's what I think was the biggest disappointment, Eddie, was that the way that Hedman just dominated down in that play specifically, but really all night. I mean, I think he's a player that they have not had an answer for, and I think Paquette showed that last night. He had the game-winning goal after having the first two games being a difference, making a difference defensively. This Lightning team is fast, they're young, they're talented. They've got a lot of prospects that are coming of age right in front of our eyes. And I think everyone realizes just what the Hawks are up against after three games.
Yeah. Well, what have I said to you guys, David, the last 10 days or so? I mean, this is a team that can skate up front and can have the offensive creativity and be able to put the puck in the net is equal as the Blackhawks. And they've taken advantage of some opportunities. And you know, look, another slow start last night. What was the verbiage, Joel? He was ordinary. I mean, was he?
Yeah.
Or I mean, is that, you know? I mean, is that what he said in his post game?
In so many words, you know, wasn't happy. They got going after the Callahan goal, kind of woke them up.
Exactly. Yep. But that was what, 3, 4, 5 minutes.
Five minutes in.
I mean, another slow start, and you know, the second period, I thought Tampa Bay really dictated and dominated a lot of the second period. And the third period, I thought, was, you know, pretty even. The Blackhawks had a lot of odd man situations that they weren't able to cash in on. So, you know, at the end of the day, is that people are realizing that, you know, other teams have really good players. And you mentioned Victor Hedman. I mean, when you guys had me on yesterday, I mean, he's been the best player in the series without question. And you saw the pass he made to Callahan, the first goal, and then you see his ability to be able to jump into the play. Beautiful play by Callahan. Hedman read the play, got outside, and then Paquette got inside the dots, beat Kaminsky to the hole, and Crawford had no chance.
What was your take on how Trevor Van Riemsdyk played in limited time, first action in the NHL since November?
He was okay. I thought he fought it. I thought he fought it in a lot of situations, and that's expected. I mean, he hasn't played in, he hasn't played a game, let alone in a National Hockey League, and it's not like he's had 180 games under his belt. He's only got 18 games. So, I mean, he had a good chance in the first period off a faceoff win. You know, one thing he does extremely well is he moves laterally with the puck, and it opens up lanes, and that's an important part of a team's offensive concept, Capper, that when you face a team that blocks a lot of shots, you got to have defensemen that have the ability and the willingness to go ahead and move laterally with the puck, make a quick move, and get the puck through the net. But, he gave up the puck a couple of times. He didn't, it's a tough spot. And, he threw the puck around the boards a couple of times, and Tampa was there to read it, and those things are going to happen. But at the end of the day, he got the game under his belt, and I'm sure he's happy about that, and we'll see what happens moving forward for game four.
Eddie, how impressed were you with Ben Bishop in the way that I thought he got stronger as the game got longer? And to me, he clearly was laboring and overcoming some sort of injury situation.
Yeah, I mean, anytime he went right to left, David, when he would slide right to left on his pads, that's where he would have the issue getting up on his left side. And, we showed a bunch of replays last night on our NBCSN broadcast. But you're right, third period, he did not look like he was had any issues at all. Moving side to side, he looked very comfortable. I mean, he's a guy, I didn't make mention of it in the broadcast. I mean, I came home last night and I watched the first period and then got up this morning and watched the rest of the game today. I should have mentioned, I'm going to mention tomorrow night. I mean, the one thing that he does very well is he handles the puck. Like, he likes to handle the puck. Sometimes he's a little bit too aggressive. And I think what's happened here with whatever is ailing him is kept him in a little bit more than what I've been accustomed to watching and seeing. He played the puck a little bit more in that third period. That seemed to help out his defense.
And so I think back to when I was in the basketball world and you would get a guy with four fouls and you'd be like, okay, we got to go at him.
Sure.
And it takes you away from what you do best. You're so focused on fouling that guy out. And that's what I felt like watching Ben Bishop. Yeah, he wasn't 100%, but they got so focused, like, oh my God, this guy's just get this, big-time debilitating problem. And at the end of the night, 36 of 38, he kicked away. He found a way to say, you know what, it's not as bad as you guys might think. Agreed or disagree?
I think you make the valid point about going at the at the guy that's got four fouls and attacking. And I think, again, going back to Joel's post-game comments and in the presser, just saying, oh, look, he didn't get enough second and third chance opportunities, didn't get to the blue paint, didn't get inside the dots enough. The first period they did, after the first 4 or 5 minutes, they got there and had some chances, a couple of extra whacks in there, and but they need some help. They need some guys to step up. They need Patrick Sharp to get going. Bickle didn't play a lot after the bad penalty he took. Vermette, they need more from Vermette. And look, they need more from their best guys. They need more from Toews and Kane. And I think at times I thought it was Patrick Kane's best game of the series. The first period, I think he had 5 or 6 attempts. I think he officially had 3 shots on goal. I don't know if he got any more the rest of the game. I can't remember if he did or he didn't. But, you need more from a lot of guys. And, for Bishop, he seemed to gain some traction, some confidence. And, they found a way to win game 3. And we'll see what happens tomorrow night.
So, Eddie, all day today and tomorrow, we're going to hear around Chicago how, the Hawks have been here before, and they have been down 2-1 in 2013 against the Bruins. They ended up – we all know how that one ended up. How much is it worth comparing? Is that to you an apt comparison to look at that history and see that, okay, to calm people, or do you think that that's an invalid comparison?
Well, I think it's fair because – they've been through this before. So, again, how often have I told you, mentioned to you guys, it's the first 1-4. It's not the first 1-2 or 3. It's the best of 7. It's the first 1-4. So, yeah, they've been in a situation before. Tampa's not going away. They're in a pretty good spot, but so were the Bruins. And the Hawks have had guys to be able to rise to the occasion. Look at the series before. You think about the roller coaster type of ride it's been. You go back to game 2 of the Western Conference Final. The Hawks win that triple overtime game, and the majority of people are saying there's no way Anaheim can win that game after losing triple overtime at home. The series is good, won. The Hawks are a better team, on and on and on. And who ended up winning game 3? Anaheim. So, I believe in momentum. I think we've had this discussion before. I'm a big believer of momentum. It's what do you do with it to start? And then it's all out the window. So for me, you can rely on your experience. You can rely on the past. But for the Blackhawks, I think their biggest concern would be is they need to have a better start. And the one thing I think is what we're seeing here is that even though Tampa had to hold on there for a good amount of that time in the first period after a great start, this team is very well coached. They have very good leadership, and the players understand their role. And the Blackhawks are going to have to try to crack through that at different times. So when you get the momentum and the surge is in your favor, you got to cash in, because the other team certainly can do that with one opportunity. We saw that on the game-winning goal.
Talking to the great Eddie Olczyk, the U.S. Hockey Hall of Famer here on Cap and Haw. Edzo, is there a surprise to you in this series, something that you look at it, you go, that surprised me?
Not really, Cap. I mean, I did all the games with the Rangers and the Lightning and Eastern Conference Final, and you know, I did a good majority of the games with the Hawks and the Hawks and Ducks in the Western Conference Final. It's been a close series. You could look at this a couple of different ways. I mean, you know, you want to say it was a missed opportunity last night with the empty nets that the Hawks had in the first period? Absolutely. Is the game different if the Hawks get up 2-3-1? Yeah, probably, but you know, we don't know that. But let's go back and say, well, what happened in game one? Tampa had the 1-0 lead. The Hawks were coming, but Tampa had a couple of great chances. Corey Crawford won the game in game one, in my opinion. The Hawks got two goals in a matter of, what, a buck 37, 2 minutes, whatever it was. So you're going to have these up and downs, and you're going to win games maybe when you're not supposed to, and you're going to give games up. And for me, it's all about worrying about the first period tomorrow night. And learn from what's going on. But there's really nothing that surprised me in this series. I tried to explain to people and give a scouting report on Tampa. And as I said to you guys before, a lot of people in this town thought the series would be over in three games. That's not the case. Tampa is a good team, a very well-coached team, and they got guys that are stepping up big time, just like the Hawks have had guys step up in the past and winning two cups in 5 years.
Eddie, I think when we watched Marian Hossa miss the wide-open net in the first period, that we – I know that I'm watching it. I mean, you're forming conclusions quickly. You're thinking to yourself, boy, how could he miss that? It looks so easy. And yet, do we underestimate the degree of difficulty when he's being tripped from behind? Describe what might be going through the head of a Marian Hossa at that point and how difficult that might be that we might not see.
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to think about that when I watched it over and over this last night when I watched that first period when I got home, David, and you know, he's going, he made the perfect move, right? He faked the shot, he got to the inside, Colburn trips him up, and trust me, I mean, you're off balance, and you're just trying to make sure that you can turn that bottom hand over to make sure you put it into the back of the net, and it happens. I mean, and you see the reaction on his face too, David, after. I mean, he just couldn't believe that he missed that opportunity, and you know, it's tough to score in this league, and it's tough to score when somebody's tripping you up and you're off balance and all your weight is on, you know, is really on your stick. And it's not an excuse; it's a fact. Like, it's easy to say he should have put it in, but when you're off balance like that, you need a little bit of luck too. And like I said, it's just one of those things. Unfortunate for Marian Hossa and the Blackhawks that he wasn't able to put it in the back of the net. But look, give Colburn credit, right? I mean, he got beat, and that's one of those you call a good penalty because he was able to trip up Hossa and not allow him to put that puck into the back of the net.
And so I was going through the most highly compensated goaltenders in the NHL. If you had to be honest, I'm not asking you to criticize.
Whoa, time out here. But let's go back to before. What's the honest part? What do you mean? Well, I'm not honest with you?
No, you always are. But okay, if you had to rank the goaltenders, where's Corey Crawford?
Corey Crawford was a top five goaltender this year in the regular season. End of story. This year was his best year as a professional goaltender.
Who did you have in that top five?
My opinion. End of story.
Top five. Who are they?
The Blackhawks were not a wild card because of Corey Crawford. He had two bad weeks in a regular season. End of story.
Right. But who are the top five?
Do you have a list, or do you want me to give you who I think are the top five in the league?
I would like you to give me who you think the top five were this year.
This year?
Yeah.
Lundqvist, mm-hmm. Price, Crawford, Rene for the majority of the year, but he wasn't very good after he came back from his injury. Let's make that perfectly clear.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Halak had an outstanding year with the Islanders. Would he have 40-some wins?
Yep.
Off the top of my head, I would say those five guys.
See, Crawford's in that mix.
So Dubnyk's not in there?
For the regular season. Let me make it perfectly clear. For the regular season.
What about Dubnyk?
Well, he had a great regular season.
No, look at it. You're right. I completely.
Yeah, Dubnyk had a great regular season. Yeah.
I mean, you got to put Dubnyk in there for sure. And let me say this. He wasn't just great in Minnesota. I mean, he was very good in Phoenix as well. And that's one of the reasons why Arizona traded him, is because he was actually outplaying Mike Smith at that particular time. So, yeah, I would put, you know what, I would put Dubnyk in there for sure, and I might even take Rene out and put Halak in there when you look at the start of the season to the end of the season. So, yeah, my bad, you guys are right. I definitely would have Dubnyk in the top five for sure.
Interesting. It's just
is that okay?
I'm not sure where Cap's going with this, Eddie.
Hold on.
I know.
Are you okay with that cap, or you say, nah, Edsel's full of it? Which is it?
I agree with you.
Oh, wait a second. You just said before Corey Crawford's not a top five goalie. Eddie says it, and you say, I agree with you.
I'm not quantifying it like Eddie did, who are the top five in the regular season. If you had a draft of NHL goaltenders, Corey Crawford's not going in the top five. And if that GM...
He's going in the top 10. He'd be going in the top 10.
Yes, he's going in the top 10.
Yeah, and I said top 10.
Okay.
But he's not going in the top five. And if he does go in the top five, I want that GM on my schedule because there's five other guys I'd take ahead of him.
Okay, so let me just make it perfectly clear. Like I said, during the regular season, from the games that I watch in person and on television, there is no question in my mind that Corey Crawford was a top five goaltender. When you look at the numbers, when you look at the body of work from the start to the end of the season, yeah, did he have a rough stretch after he had the off-ice injury? Absolutely. But I'm just talking going into the playoffs. I don't think anybody in this town thought that goaltending was going to be an issue coming into the first round of the playoffs. Now, look, it didn't play out that way in the first round. We understand that. But I believe is that Corey Crawford had his best year in the National Hockey League in the regular season as a top five goaltender.
And I don't think they trailed 2-1 in the series, Cap, because of Corey Crawford. I think that's what you're suggesting.
Absolutely not. Game one, they won because of Corey Crawford.
I'm not suggesting that. Let's just be clear. Because five minutes ago, he called me Corey Crawford's biggest defender.
Capper.
Yes.
Do you agree with that or not? I think that's what's full of it.
No, I agree with you there.
You get where I'm going here with the only options you get when I ask you a question now? Are you getting that or no?
I like that.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just telling you, as I went through the salaries.
Well, now why do you bring salaries into it? That has nothing to do with it.
Because we live in a salary cap environment, Eddie.
Okay, just because the general manager just decides to pay a player, that decides on, well, he should be in the top five if you pay him $7 or $8 million. Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying
is, and that wasn't the question he asked you either.
In a salary cap world, if you pay a large amount of money to a guy, you better get, and you said he was top five in the regular season, you better get that kind of productivity when you spend $6 million of a $71 million cap next year.
Oh, I'm not going to argue, but look, what are your options? What is the issue? Like, it should not, forget the salary. Look at performance, okay? That's the one thing. That's what you got to look at. And if you think, again, go back. If it's not for Corey Crawford, the Blackhawks are a wild card team.
Agreed.
And they might be golfing right now. You have to be fair.
Whoa, 5 minutes ago you called me Crawford's biggest defender.
It was a different context.
I am not coming down on Corey Crawford.
Let's be clear. Okay.
Let's be clear.
Eddie, thank you for the...
I understand.
For the common sense.
Either can be you are or nah, you're not.
You're unbelievable.
Thank you, Eddie, for the common sense.
You are unbelievable. By the way,
have a great day, huh?
Yep.
Go to Edzo, go to my Twitter feed. The Wall Street Journal put the 73 Belmont against the 2015 Belmont, like side by side. And you could see who would have won the race in their scenario.
Okay, now wait a second. Are you saying that who do you think would win that race?
Secretariat by double-digit lengths.
Okay. Yeah.
Not even close.
Well, I don't know about not even close, but yeah, I was hoping that you would go there.
Yeah, if you just take the times, he wins by 15.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
All right, Sham.
All right. You guys have a great day.
See you, Eddie.
Love you, Edzo.
David, have a couple of Tylenol on me, okay?
Oh, I do. Thank you.
Bye, Edzo.
Take care.
See you. As always.
It's our guy, great Eddie Olczyk.